See, for instance, I would have, before I started with this money choosing insecurity, I would have to get this sheet of paper and I would draw and I'd have to put a June, July, August, September, October, November, and we don't do a lot in December because of clients. Then I would have to write out what major things are happening in those months before I could ever go to this plan. Some of the others of you may have good ideas on planning, on just establishing a plan.
Okay. First of all, this past spring, I was on the discipleship team. We were required to read a book called Tyranny of the Urgent. And excellent.
How many of you read that? All day.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I find it necessary, and I just got to doing it myself, was to sit down and figure out what day I was going to plan my monthly schedule, what day I was going to plan my weekly schedule, and what day I was going to, you know, just certain days that I had set aside to make sure that they're planning days, you know, and set goals for myself. Let's see if it works, but I'm going to try.
If you haven't read that little book she mentioned,
I think some of us need to reread it. Carolyn, I don't know that this is a has any kind of correlation to what you said. Is that okay? Well, I mean,
yes,
it's in the realm of planning.
Yes, thank you. Thanks. for being polite to you, but anything goes.
I just was wondering if somebody else who might have this problem could give me an answer.
Okay, let's go.
I hate to plan because I am so detailed that by the time I finish planning, I have given my life to planning, and I have no time to implement, and I have no energy to do it. And so then the next time I get ready to plan, I refuse to plan because it was so depressing the time before. How can I? Is anybody in this room have that problem? So how can I streamline my planning so that I'm accomplishing the objectives, but really
set a timeline?
Read this book again.
Set priorities for what's most important to really plan in detail, and then, you know, kind of make yourself plan the other things in less detail.
Good, thank you.
Another idea. Well, I just asked her, do you have a conviction about planning?
Yes. Well, but I hate it so bad, I lose it every time. The reason why I asked that is, you know, some people who just like planning, they really don't know much about it. They haven't read about it, they don't have established a conviction.
Good point. Now that is an excellent point, that some of us who are not good planners, we just need to learn more about it.
I think I've been given so much detail, so many details on planning, that I just think I have to go through a trillion steps. And, you know, I'm just so detailed about it. That's why, yeah.
Do you think you're part sanguine in describing it?
Oh, probably so. I think I'm kind of trying to make people laugh.
Maybe she can get somebody that's less detailed to help her be more, see the bigger picture.
I don't know. That's
true.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea. Get a cleric to plan with you, and they'll push.
You won't have to.
And they'll choose you if you can pray for patients that day.
Especially like in personal goals, once you've got the best faith plans in the world and you're really excited about it, say they're up for 3 to 3 or 4 months, how can you finish them? How can you stick with them until the end to even have an evaluation?
Okay, who wants to speak to that? What did you say, Judy?
Well, my whole thinking back to Judy is because she's a melancholic, aren't you? You probably have very high standards. And they're probably not too realistic. And that's what's frustrating. You need to learn to simplify it and get it down to the very nitty-gritty where you can live with it day by day.
So simplify.
So simplify and just recognize the fact that you are realistic and you have overwhelming goals that beyond your, you know, your ability to even see them work out. And it'd be very good to have someone with you that's very practical. Mm-hmm. And Bob was very good for me to trim away all of my idealism and my planning.
That's very helpful.
Along with that, I mean, Judy, you are barking up my tree. Because I exactly did the same work. And I never plan for everything all at once, or like take a morning to plan, because it would go into my afternoon, and or then I would feel that. But I plan according to, you know, one person at a time, and set different times to plan. And in that way, and then also along with setting the time limit, okay, I have 30 minutes to plan this one thing for one person. I'm going to sit down here and do the best that I can. And when 30 minutes are up, get up, and whatever I got, I'll start doing it.
That would also be good for the opposite person like me, who can't stand to sit down long enough to do that. And so if I set, you know, little blocks of times to do that, then I won't hate it too much.
That's right. Yeah, and one of the films we saw on time at Orietta was for you, was Miss Gannon's time. Nella is pretty discerning, but you want to talk about that? Is that one of your questions?
Well, that's a weakness for me too, but I'm trying to figure out a letter to be able to put. So I don't have to. I'm trying to figure out who I'm. When I get my ideas together and take them to somebody, you know, they start whittling on them, everything is real precious to me. It's real hard to turn loose of it. But if I'm trying to plan with somebody who sees the skeleton of things while I see the details, then I get real excited about all the things that would help pull that thing and make it successful. Those are the details. And so the patience she asked me to pray for that day would be the thing I'd have to have. While they gave me the skeleton and let me go, I'd figure out everything else that would make it go.
Or maybe pray for being able to divorce, like what Colleen was saying, divorce your ideas from yourself, so that when you put an idea out there, so it says, we're not going to go with it, it doesn't mean we're not going to go with you.
Hopefully that
should.
In answering and talking about what Sabra was talking about, then there are those of us who are not so idealistic, and yet the idea of setting realistic goals becomes very important for me to just to be able to ask how to make it through to the end of the goal period. And I'm not always real motivated to meet my goals. And so I just have to be realistic. Again, we've said realistic to those of you who have idealistic goals. But I have to be realistic or else I'll be totally unmotivated to meet the goals.
So you're saying that you really try to push to finish the goals?
No. If I set them, see, in having a phlegmatic streak, I can be real unmotivated unless they're very realistic. And so, because I won't push unless they're realistic.
Or unless you have some accountability agent who
yes.
is very respected
yes.
by you. Okay. Well, I'm not laughing at you.
I understand.
Neither do I. But does someone want to define realism for us?
No, it's not that.
I
mean, when you said your goal,
he said it was good before. Maybe you might just want to reiterate. You remember?
Let's hear it one more time,
Andy. I just do my goal. Mine are always realistic.
Well, yeah, me is very matter of fact, though.
So I just look, what am I doing? If I'm not doing much, well, then I'll just continue that plus add a little bit. Instead of thinking I have to be like super Christian on the situation.
And
really,
she doesn't compare herself.
Well, I do some. I can't, you know. But I don't know, that helps me.
Okay, now that's a good question to ask girls, too. When they come in and said, I'm going to memorize a book of the Bible this year, you might ask them, and how many verses did you memorize last year? Well, I don't memorize yet. So you might want to help them to memorize 52 verses first. Now, one thing, Sabra, I would say to that, though, and I wish I could just reference, it's either Proverbs 10:13 or 13:18. Somewhere along
But there is a verse, because someone used it with me, that said, it is a fool who carries out his plans only to see his plans carry out. But I think sometimes, you know, we just, for instance, if God calls us into another area that we should be ministering in, and we say, God, I made these goals, I prayed for them, the goals, I prayed after many goals, I'm going to do them. So there's a word about
the first is that
it's not, that's sort of my slanderized version, but it is in there. I think it's maybe 10:22 or 13:10.
I wanted to speak to Debbie's question there. If she has a hard time making it through the semester, I know it's drag setting goals very often, but if you make them for a shorter period of time, that's one thing. See, I get bored real easily. You know, if I set them for like, well, I'll set my personal ones for several months, but like for a person that I'm working with, this is something that I am learning. If you just have one basic objective, like for a month or 6 weeks, work on that, you know, and then you evaluate after that. That way you don't get stuck also in relationships where people are going, what a drag, I don't want to be with you anyway, you know, type of thing. And so that way you can evaluate. And also, you're more motivated. Because you're not just going, oh, I can't wait till the conductor goes over, so get on to bigger, better
things. Right.
You know.
Yes, and I've even had it, people have encouraged me, you should crochet your, or, you know, stitch your things on a pillow or something so you can look at it every night. Because you'll forget what you're doing. I'm so short.
Diane. I wanted to speak back to what Judy said, because I'm just like Judy and Beverly. And so I would plan, you know, if I were planning a whole event, I would plan what color little papers we're going to use, how the napkins are folded, you know, and I'd want it all to be written down. So I'd spend my whole time planning, and it comes to the last hour, and nothing would be done yet. And so what I really had to learn to do was, like if it's a whole event or something like that, I'd say we're going to have to get acquainted things. And so I just say, well, Denise is good at that, so I let her do that. And then I wouldn't try to plan every detail of that to get acquainted. I've had to just have to make myself do it. So I'm going to plan everything.
Yeah, but do you sometimes have a picture of what you want it to be like? And so when you try to follow up on her, make sure she's done it?
Yeah, and she needs help. I can help her, but I don't go to the trouble to write down everything myself.
Okay, now wait a minute. This is real important. I think what she's saying is if you have something in mind, when you give a job to someone, it would be good to tell them this is the minimum you can do, and this is the maximum you can do, and then let them.
Oh, I have an idea.
Then that way they know, okay, you told me, you know, and I have problems with that because I forget to tell people this is the minimum and this is the maximum.
Because if you're ultimately responsible, so you have an idea of what you want your reputation to be like when all said and done, even though you delegated the responsibility. But if in the delegating you take it back in the process and whoever did the work doesn't really get to do it her way, well then it becomes convenient.
See, like if we gave Nella these name tags, so what if we take them back halfway through the morning? So no, we can't apply worlds.
Carolyn, this is just a thought. I think we're maybe being Judy's question around.
I love it.
But part of your planning can be scheduling your planning. In other words, you may want to initially come up with your objectives, but when you get to publicity, you may want to go over the next, you know, if it's several months in advance, you want to say, okay, next month on this day, I'll sit down and work out the publicity brochure, and 2 weeks from here I'll plan out the menu. And does that make sense? That may frustrate you, and you'll have to know yourself and not having it all planned at once, but that helps in even delegating out the planning.
Okay, that's good. Another thing, Brown is a delegation queen, and what I found this out from him, I think he threw it in the trash, I forget it, but I got the trash. He sat down and looked at all the things that we had scheduled, and he just, you know, he drew, he put the dates over here and the event, and then people that he wanted to delegate things to. And he just listed all these dates, all the events we had scheduled, and then all the people that were scheduled to be encouraged to do these things. So that might help you not to feel overwhelmed when you see all the events. If you could go ahead and delegate them. Might be good to even make up a list of all those things that you are responsible for, so that you don't keep asking somebody, what am I supposed to be doing?
I was wondering if anybody had a particular form, a way that they plan large group activities.
Okay, anybody? Mark.
This is telling her how I plan large group activities. And I'll not describe it in detail, but it's a sheet that Bob gave me, and working at the last large group thing I did was a parent training workshop. And it's essentially what you just described, except it's set up in a little bit different format and has a little bit more detail in it. It's kind of a, you call it a timeline. Taking the last thing on the sheet is the activity itself, and the next thing up is what needs to be done right before the activity, and the next thing up is what needs to be done maybe a week before the activity. So you back up to what you need to do now, so that by April 6th you will have a parent training workshop put together. So you spell out your activities in sequence, and then it has some slots for who is responsible for these various things, and then your dates. So I can get that to whoever wants it. It's a real good sheet that you can plan so far.
You want the mailing? Well, if you have that mailing, what Snell, do you think of maybe send it out to them?
Can I send it to Nella?
Yeah, no, don't send Nella.
If they do that, you know, if they send it, because some people want a copy of that last thing that they did with the overhead only, and we just have a follow-up thing, so you have one more perspective. Everything you've gotten has been real helpful, so, you know, that's helpful.
Okay,
what do you want me to do then, Carolyn?
Well, that'd be fun, I guess, to mail it to her, or we could mail them this now, and then they could mail them.
That would be a little bit.
You know what? I really wonder if it would be helpful if we became sort of a facilitator. As people get ideas, you can send it. We'll send it to the people on this.
Well, then she has to ever copy it to us here in
Athens. That's what we're talking about. We'll do that. I don't know that we could get it ready for the banquet, but we could mail it out.
Somebody will decorate the table.
Okay. So, Barb, would you mail it to me? Any other ideas or any other questions? Oh, wait a minute. Did we answer her question, Saber's question? How do you finish your goals? Who finishes goals usually? All right, Barb, how do you finish yours?
I'm in trap. I don't know. I don't have any specific comments. I just keep bringing them before God. I don't really have any specific things to say, but I do think it's...
Okay, Saber, is the concern that you have too many to finish? You accumulate as you go, and then you have all these others, too?
I usually don't accumulate. I try to stick to my goal sheet. But I think it's a little bit of failure to motivate, and instead of going on and trudging through, I just sort of, you know...
Oh, okay. Well, we need to get an encourager assigned to her.
I
don't think that might really make a difference. You married
one. I mean, I am married.
Oh, okay. You went to church.
I wonder about what if your goal, you know, you set this goal and suddenly you're confronted with the facts 1 month into doing that, and you discover, oh, you know, this goal was a tip. So who is it who's talking about living through your goals so you can get a better one next time? You know, I think there ought to be some room for adjusting that goal to meet the, you know, reality rather than suffering for the whole semester because I was a little troubled.
That's where evaluation comes in. For instance, my primary objective this semester, my Bible study was to be an evangelistic outreach. You know, after about 3 weeks of the semester, I had baby Christians in there that were having, I mean, they had some inhibitions about evangelism. So, you know, pretty soon I realized that primary objective is not going to be reached. And so I had to readjust my, at least from that Bible study outreach.
But that's the point where I need feedback. I can't evaluate myself because I always want the top notch and the everything. And if I do some of it, that's probably pretty good. But then I feel like a complete failure because I didn't do it all. So I need somebody else who's looking on to say, yeah, but look at this progress. Yeah, you did this. This is coming along.
And let people be as they are. See, there's some people who they must put down exactly what they're going to do and do that and no more. You know, like I hear some people going, oh, look, I finished all my goals, and I'm so proud of myself, and I look at their goals and think, what an issue. But see, I'm so unrealistic. I will print up stuff, and, you know, I mean, Max will just go, ha, ha, ha. And the thing you don't want to do, see, I don't care. I know I can't do all that, but I'm much farther along than if I had done any of it. But then that doesn't bother me. It may bother people close to you. So you might check with them. Does it bother you that I don't finish these things?
Something that helped me in setting goals was for those that have a tendency to set high goals and they want to do all this stuff, is to have the perspective that these goals are what I'm aiming for, things that I long for God to develop in my life and that I'm in process, and that I shouldn't be bound by completing them, and if I don't, I'm a failure. But God's at work. I'm in process. That's the direction I'm going. Father, this is what I'm trusting you to do. And, you know, let just being faithful to move in that direction to respond as he leads, but not to get uptight.
Good.
With word is.
I thought so running along the same line. One thing that another girl shared with me that she read my goals, she said all of these are activities. And what struck me is where is our the goal of faith. What am I going to be as a person? What goals do we have to become? And one thing that's helped me is at the top of each heading of each of the categories in my life, is I have a being goal, something I trust in God to develop in my life, the character that backs up the actual task. Otherwise, it's just actually just doing things for the sake of a goal and a task. And that has really helped me get a perspective that God is working in my life. Area that I know I need to develop. Characteristics like for a ministry goal, I have to become faithful with a few. Okay? Structuring my goals around becoming.
Good. Yeah, that's a good word.
It's not like I'm missing the
same. Yeah. And another thing, girls, I wonder if you could be challenged to operate in the light of your own integrity, because often there will not be somebody checking up on you. And, you know, maybe we sometimes can put pressure on a boss or a director or even our roommates. You know, I can break into tears, you know, because nobody's going to check up on me. And see, someone very, well... anyway, he got this word across to me. I had this goal, you know, and I did it faithfully for a couple of times. And then another person had the same goal, wasn't faithful. And I suggested we need to deal with that. And nobody said anything. So my immediate thought was, well, who cares? Probably in sales, well, who cares? Well, who cares? See, you know, see what happened to me? It should have been an integrity in my heart that I cared. So then I started getting lax with my goals because I thought, oh, this, who cares? Nobody cares. And then this person came to me and said, I noticed that you have not been carrying out your goal. And I said, well, sure, who cares? He said,
if you're that immature, then that's okay. But you need to have the integrity of your own heart saying that if nobody cares, God cares, and I do. And so I got right back on that goal. and it was a very good work. Any other ideas? Debbie, did you have any other thoughts and plans? Anything you want to help with? Anybody else have a question you want this little think tank to help you with? This is a beautiful opportunity. Elise, you have any thoughts you want to help with?
Super asked the same question I have got. You know, I can set terrific goals and list them out, you know, just to, you know, great ones, and then I just don't work toward them. And I think the key in that is just having to break your goals on top. I have to break them. Maybe initially I did, but not regularly. That would help me keep them on.
Oh, good. That'd be good.
Along those lines, I just put my goals in my prayer notebook on the daily section. I'll pray through different sections of rooms to evaluate. It's kind of daily.
Or you can put on your closet room. You had a thought.
I was just going to say, I always put my goals in my folder under goals. And then next time I write goals.
Are you recommending that we do that too?
No. I was going to say, don't put your goals in your folder, which Mindy's husband told me, and that's what Mindy just said. Put them where you see them all the time. And if you're like me, you have the purpose to read it, because when you call the bulletin board, I don't read it.
Right. Okay, and then too, as you start with your goals and you hear new goals, for instance, one time I remember Beverly and I went out to eat, she said, what's some things you pray for yourself? And I said, excuse me. I mean, I had some prayer goals, but I mean, it was like, what's seven things you pray for yourself? And I tried to come up with seven things, but see, she had something in mind, and so I learned something from her, but I didn't alter it then, but I took it and used it later. And you know what I mean? I just so much stuff. But if I hear something really good like that, I'll write it down, and then I'll maybe do that next semester. It's really a good idea. And then those of you who are leaders, Mary Dawn, I believe, is the one who summarized the spiritual leadership by Oswald Sanders. And I got a copy of it, and there's some very good things to pray for yourself in there as leaders. There's a chapter on that. That might be helpful.
Well, I don't know how this, you know, applies as a suggestion, but it's something that God has given me every time. Every semester that I plan and I write down my goals, He's given me a focus verse for that time period of my life. And as I look back, I can remember the verse, and it applies to that part of that, you know, segment semester out of my life. You know, it's just something that I ask for every time. Would you please, or something, you know, I didn't start out asking, you just started doing it, and then I kept asking and received a verse for that time frame. It's also a springboard of which to make your goals. If that's what God wants you to learn that semester, then you can make goals to go along with it.
Very good. Okay, now then for clerics and others who don't think through very far, it really helps me to put my goals sort of in a chart form where I see it all, you know, on one page, so I don't have to dig through and do a whole lot of study, you know, to find out what they are, you know. So,
can you do that? Can you get them all on one page?
No, it's not on one page.
No.
I write microscopic. No. They're not all on one page, but I mean, sort of in a chart form where it's, you know, it's not longhand or it's not. And try to sort of organize my thinking that way. The timeline thing that Barb said, stuff like that is really helpful to people. I can really see.
Good. Okay, could everybody just throw out one activity you're going to do real fast? Penny, we'll start with you. Just one activity that you're going to do either in your ministry, in your big program, in your little program, in your one-to-one, in your personal.
Um, personally, I'd like to do a lot of study on anger.
Okay. All right. So an activity is doing a lot of study on anger. Yeah, just throw out one, any one, because see, somebody might pick up a neat idea from just one activity, all those things that you know. Let's see.
Judy really challenged me. She shared her life in the collaborative of God. I think that's an area that I've known about and wanted to plan about. I wanted to plan for with my girls, but it's been overlooked. So throughout the summer, and as I sit down with them in the fall, I want to come up with one specific area of curiosity that we would pray for and work on, and it wouldn't be overlooked. I really heavily used to this area. Okay, Evelyn?
Thank you. The wheel didn't sort back there.
One of my goals is to type up these notes and applications.
Whoa.
I thought I
was
going to
learn next one. Wow. Did you say nothing else? Stop
kidding. One thing that I wanted to be part of the stuff that Phil can share about security. Security is such a big thing in my life. I really wanted to spend like maybe just like spend a half hour a week, you know, looking at some verses and praying through that just to like re-emphasize the correct biblical thinking. Because I think I've dealt with some stuff. Now it's something that I've noticed that I'm actually just like when I'm learning this. Just to kind of do a Bible study, play through some verses that God have really, you know, continued and taught me with the right things.
One thing I'm going to do, this is really challenging to do, is to, since we're just going to be about 6 more weeks in the situation we're in, is to plan real specifically on the most important thing, like one of the girls that I'm working with that I know would be a lot greater impact that I leave behind if I focus in on some things with her.
Very good. And you know, Joanne, can I just say this out? I think, too, I would find out, what is that director, superintendent, whatever, what is his goal? And I'd go for that. Like if it were evangelist, again, it's once a week for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And get somebody else to follow up, pray for him, follow up. Yeah.
I've been trying to get some evangelistic goals for next year. And one I'd like to do yeah, is to get a pass to their natatorium and their gym, just to be around students in that way.
Good idea. Task to their course?
Yeah, the natatorium swimming pool, the gymnasium,
need to read through the book and go back and look this over and really see if there are any feelings that I really need to expose as well for my own life.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
I've been planning for my summer living situation around 1 John 1:7 about walking in the light. And there are several implications of that, but just I really desire that we would be people who share the word with each other and not just because sometimes we never hear each other's quiet times. I have no idea. So anyway, that's a goal. I'm just staying faithful to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, Drew and I are both wanting to grow in the area of evangelism, and I've been giving her some help. So next week I have a Tupperware party. I'll be hosting that at my house where a bunch of our neighborhood gals will be coming. And then a week and a half after that, I leave for, you know, parts unknown. And so Debbie is going to come to the Tupperware party and try to meet some gals that she can follow up on this summer.
Yeah.
That's an evangelistic goal. Another thing I'm going to do in response to the prayer chart that you gave us the other day, I've been much more faithful, well, not more faithful, but relatively more faithful to pray for other people than I have to pray for Bob. So I've taken Bob's life verses and taken the concepts out of them and put them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and that's why we're praying for this summer.
Right.
I just moved into a duplex, and my landlady that lives in the other half, I want to be a servant to her this summer. But not only that, I decided this week that I want to have a prayer and devotional time with her.
Good, Robbie. That's what Antoine's name. And that's
in California. Are you going to reach California?
My plan does involve that. This is summer. Well, my big goal is to continue to develop a curriculum for group interaction with non-Christians that we began at the end of the semester. So that needs to be developed.
Have people talked to you about that? All of you who are sort of new at getting out on the campus, and Kathy, you might really be interested in going to Wisconsin. They have some. They have giant success with these interviews. And for a long time. Okay, would you share the books
sometime? One thing I'm going to do is reread the 10 from the books to try to. Try to find out who I am, but I want to understand the people, the girls that I work with and my director better.
Good. Linda?
Besides the training program goals, I have a personal one to finish reading, or I began reading, You're Very Special by Vernon Burkey, and wanted to just really memorize some of the verses out of there and do some of the projects and take some time with it and really establish my security.
Excellent. And Linda and Lana, thinking of going to Wyoming, you might get with Debbie. Linda?
I'm going to change some of my prayer goals for other people, and then also begin to ask God for some good things.
Good. Tell us so we can be faithful. Kathy, excuse me.
I'd like to put a Bible study going on in the dorms and stuff. I've never done one by myself, so I'm anxious to see what I can do. I've got the answer.
That's our phone then, yeah. Okay, Ms.
I would like to do some Bible study once a week. I like to do Bible study. That's the encouragement that I'm very crazy about scripture memory. And she said, since I like Bible study, it'd be a good idea to memorize whatever it is, like the verse that I'm studying. So I'm going to try to do that.
Well, I've only been here for a few of the things you've done, but one application I'll share that I made on Wednesday night was that I began to pray each morning and consciously put on the full armor of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. One area I'm really challenged with is the area of friendship with that, and making that be a model in my own life. But this summer, I want to get to know people in my apartment complex by being out of the pool and be hanging around.
The washer dryer.
But when we wrote up those prayer sheets, I wrote up one, praying for the lost, and just praying something every day.
Let's
kind of drawing a map of our
kind of
contact.
Great idea. That's a good idea. We can all do that. Where are we at? Don't be right. I was hanging around the wash materials closet and said, isn't this the most boring thing you ever do? She goes, well, I do this for a living. It kills your evangelism, friendship evangelism.
One of the goals that Ramona and I are sharing together is drawing up some objectives and standards for a lay girl next year. It will be a lay girl.
Oh, good. So you're gonna identify them as a group. That'd be good.
What's a lay girl?
It's career girls, professional people. Yeah, you better not call it.
been to Worldwide.
So it's like Metropolitan Ministries project we have in our church. We found out a lot of the gay churches were called Metropolitan. I think we're in the process of changing that name. Yeah. Anyway, one of my evangelism goals is to share the gospel with a couple in our apartment complex. That's the goal. I made a list of activities, things I'm going to do with the girl, and things Dan and I both are going to do with the demo.
Run outside and tell
me over the door. Yeah, that's right. That was the goal. One of the things that I've been doing while I get dressed each morning is learning the character definitions and verses. Well, no, I've been doing that before. I've been doing my prayer motivation this year has been making sure I go to my picture board and pray for people, and now I'm going to put those character qualities in the verses with those people.
My evangelistic lifestyle is renovation, so I want to get some of the girls that are in town this summer and go down on campus, pray for the dorms where they're going to be ministering, pray with them. And just taking them and spending time each week in the dorms, as well as developing those in our neighborhood.
Valerie could play a beautiful mean flute if she had it here. This is This is the same as I didn't remember last name. Valerie Edwards from Tulsa. She's going to school in Arizona State. Do you want to give us one of your goals, Valerie?
Well, I just got here about 2 hours ago, but I think that the main thing that influenced me was to really just determine the basic needs of the girls in my discipleship group. Because, you know, I can, you know, say, well, you need to have quiet time, you need to do this, you need to do that. But until they really sense that I really care about them.
Good.
And they'll be good.
How are you going to ask them?
Well, just by looking at their lifestyles and, yeah, talking to them, spending time with them, praying about it.
That's good. One of the things we did the first year that Pam and I came, Chuck encouraged us to ask each person two things you want to learn this semester and how can we help you do it. And they so appreciate it.
What I would like to do is take the go back to Helene's material on biblical conviction and come up with a presentation that would challenge the thoughts of the people that I.
I really think people need to hear that material. That's good. Okay, Pam, could you come tell us some details about tonight? Oh wait, Beverly, we didn't get back to you.
I had written it down and I couldn't remember this, so I'm so sorry. One thing I've been challenged to do is I cannot today pass on to you verbally my scriptural foundation for my life objective, why am I doing this? And as I try to interpret this week what God wants me to do, and just in line with my goals, I need to go back through that material things that I've worked through and put down so that I can, you know, pass on to people. What is the scriptural foundation for all the things here that we are doing, and how does it all fall into, for instance, the picture of the disciple and his maturity, and to write my goals from there. And then just another thing is I'm praying through the love thing of meditation, and it's a real need in my life. So I'm praying to make a goal this summer to spend 10 minutes a day meditating using that particular eye line.
Good. Thanks, everyone.
Just a few things in terms of wrap up. If your programs are still together, I lost my phone the first day, but one of your pages toward the back will be an evaluation. And we appreciate you doing that tonight or early in the morning. Not going to do it. We do want an evaluation of the banquet, so if you could do it after the banquet, there'll be a box. Someplace in the pavilion in the morning, put those in.